Lemon face.
Ooh.
Lion face. Lemon face.
Ooh, break it down.
Hey there! Welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com, and I'm your host, Justin Lacey, gamertag J Devil, and this is the episode for November 3rd, 2010. Tonight we're going to be discussing horror games and everything to do with the horror genre. I am joined by our full crew. We took a week off. We're all relaxed. We're all excited to be here, especially Cole Monroe out in California. What's up, Cole?
What's going on, everybody?
Hey.
That's my excited voice.
That was actually pretty pumped up for you.
Yeah.
What about Ethan in Indy?
Hey!
That was exciting. And also starring Christina in Indy.
What?
Wow.
All right.
Is it horror or just a creepy episode?
I'm just a little giddy tonight. It's okay. I'm excited.
Excited about horror?
About horror. Oh my god.
You sound like a terrible Kristen Wiig character from Saturday Night Live. I hate that bitch. On that note.
Wow.
Moving forward.
What we're going to do, we're going to go through our normal threesomes of the week where everybody highlights a few different types of media they've been watching the last week and what's had their attention there. Then we've got our on-the-spot question to warm us up for the horror movie debate, discussion, whatever you want to call it this time. And then we're going to dive into talking about all kinds of different horror games and non-horror games and what makes a horror game and horror game. And take it home with HorribleNight.com updates and any last-minute industry shout-outs as per usual. So let's get us started with Cole and your threesomes of the week.
Sorry for interrupting. The first thing I want to talk about is I've been watching a lot of Bones lately.
It's on Bones.
Netflix streaming. I might have talked about it before, but I'm jumping back in, and I don't know. It's a good quick hour, and you don't really have to think real hard when you're watching it. So I like it.
You don't like to think for an hour?
Sometimes.
I've been told.
I do a lot of thinking on my off days.
I've been told by some of my gay friends that I look like the man on that show.
The man?
I just want to qualify that with the gay friend side. apparently we have like the same forehead, which creeps me out.
You look like David Boreanaz.
Yeah,
so you have a very unique forehead.
But it creeps me out because he had that really weird forehead on Angel. And that's what I think they think I look like. And that's not a compliment.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So celebrity association can only be pointed out by homosexuals?
If somebody's going to give me a compliment or some sort of commentary on how I look, I'm going to take a girl's opinion or a gay man's opinion a lot more seriously than a straight dude's opinion. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I respect their opinion. They're judging me. It's fine. I look good or like a demon, one of the two.
You have a demon forehead.
What else you got, Cole?
I don't know. After that. I'm
going to be a little loopy tonight.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm a little wired. Been a little drunk a little too much lately. And we took the week off, so.
Yeah.
Deal with it. All right.
Anyway, Ethan had said that he'd been copying me and doing things that I have said in my threesome, so I decided to pay him back a little bit. And after him and Alex both had talked about The Call of Cthulhu, book by H.P. Lovecraft, I decided to buy that on the Kindle, and it was only $1. So I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to getting into it. And then I've been playing Costume Quest. Well, I played Costume Quest last week and beat it. It's a cool little game. $15. 200 points, an easy 200 points. It gets repetitive at times, but I had a lot of fun with it.
More importantly, support Double Fine Studios and Tim Schafer because they're badass.
Sure. Yes, definitely.
I'm a big fan of Costume Quest just because it, I don't know, it taps into my kind of like adoration for like Calvin and Hobbes and the imagination that I had when I was like 8 years old, you know, and that's what that game is all based on, doing battle in your Halloween costumes.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm too old to go trick-or-treating, and it kind of lets me do that without looking like a fool in real life.
You look like
committing a crime?
that too.
That's what the game's for, is to prevent crimes.
Yeah. Does its job.
All right, Chuckles. Ethan, what are your threesomes of the week?
You know, anytime you want a lady to watch a movie with you, just tell her that George Clooney's in it, and it doesn't really matter what the content is. So my wife and I watched From Dusk Till Dawn on Saturday on AMC because they had a bunch of movies on, and that's a horrible movie. That's a really, really bad movie, and it's really funny to see her get so excited because it's George Clooney, and she's a big fan, and just see a bunch of, like, horrible like head explosions and people getting decapitated, and at one point a vampire band member was playing a bass made of a human body. So safe to say I tricked
that's
her.
The best part.
That is, I mean, how did he have the time to do that? That's what I was
he's an artist.
I love that movie.
He's an artist.
No, it's that was so entertaining. It's very Evil Dead. I forgot how much how similar it was to Evil Dead. I mean, it was.
That's cool. I might have to check that out. I've never watched it, but I'd never heard it referenced in the Evil Dead tone. But knowing that going in, I'll probably enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they meant it to be a comedy, but it definitely is.
It is now. It is now. Speaking of AMC, Walking Dead premiered on Sunday. And, you know, I figured I'd like it because, you know, the zombies. And I love the graphic novel Walking Dead. And, you know, for those of you that have not read the novel or the graphic novel, zombies aren't really the main component to it. It's a drama. And the television show was amazing. I'm not going to go into too much detail about it, but some of the best zombie makeup and effects that I have seen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even compared to some of the Hollywood movies, it blows them out of the water. It's, you know, I'm not sure exactly where the acting is going to go, other than there was quite a few strong performances. Main character, and Justin, I know you had mentioned it, that he a little bit iffy on him, but I'm really excited for the series. It's really impressive, and AMC is really making some of those, the HBOs and the Showtimes regret dropping the three big shows that they have going on right now. So
I tuned in with the purpose of making fun of it, just because the zombie TV series just doesn't sound like it stands a chance in hell, but God damn, it was good. And it's probably easily my favorite zombie material since 28 Days Later. And probably even like more, what's the word? Just more crafted than any zombie feature I've ever seen, and really cool. I recommend it as well.
Oh yeah. I think it's a good thing to introduce, because right now, I mean, there is a lot of zombie oversaturation, and I think that it's going to be good with getting people to kind of look past the kind of B movie approach to most zombies. You know, it's again, there's a lot of drama to it, and there's a huge human element. So again, I'm really excited for how that's going to end up. Item is I downloaded Batman Arkham Asylum, and you know, I wouldn't say I'm a huge Batman fan. You know, I'm not a huge superhero fan by any means, but the game is really impressive. The fighting system is awesome. It really makes you feel like, you know, you're pulling off some pretty cool combos, and it's gritty and it's dark, and I like that. And if I'm gonna play any type of superhero movie, I can't deal with the kind of campy aspect of it. And I think that this was, as I mentioned on the site, you know, it reminds me of the Nolan Batman as opposed to the Schumacher Batman with the costume.
I think in any other year, Batman Arkham Asylum would have been my game of the year last year. Unfortunately, it went up against Uncharted 2, but I rank it neck and neck with it just because I'm a huge Batman fan, and that was the perfect Batman game. And I just hope they don't screw up the sequel. But Christina, I want to know about your threesomes, all of them.
All of them?
All of them.
All four of them? All right. I played Singularity. I have a feeling one of you recommended it, because I can't remember how it wound up in my game for like you.
I talked about it a little bit, just like I wanted it to succeed, even though like some of the problems you had with it, about it being generic, I was worried about it. But like really what stuck to me is Activision published it and they didn't support it at all. And it's from a developer, Raven Software, that I really like. And I wanted to see them try to get an original franchise going, but it just wasn't meant to be.
I mean, yeah, had I played it first, I think I would have really enjoyed it, but it heavily borrowed from BioShock and Arkham Asylum and Gears of War and a little bit of Halo and Portal and, like, just the things that that worked in those games that you really remember. It's like they just stole those things and crammed it all into one game, and I didn't care too much about the story, Russians, or...
I like evil Russians. How was the execution, though, like, gameplay-wise?
It was very well polished. Yeah. I mean, it was a... Like I said, had I played it first, I probably would have really enjoyed it. It moved really well. It started out pretty suspenseful, and... the whole theme is kind of time manipulation, so you have a device that can age and regenerate certain objects. So, like, if you need to break into a safe, you can age the safe and then get into it. And then, and then pass back and forth between different time periods. And that concept I thought was good, but the execution was just a little weak, so...
There's a lot of games that are doing that recently, and I mean that was a lot of my problems with the new Castlevania game is it borrowed and didn't improve and also didn't implement it very well. But yeah. But I've been able to look over it in other games, and Singularity might be worth checking out for a budget price. So
yeah, it's a good rental. It's definitely a good rental. Let's see, series. I only watched one episode, but I went back to Pushing Daisies, and I'm only on, like, episode 3, but damn, that show's adorable. And I'm kind of waiting to see where, if it did start to go wrong and why it was canceled, because so far I'm just absolutely loving it.
I think it's just one of those shows that just didn't get the
popularity.
Crowd. Yeah,
man.
Like, everybody, like, critics loved it.
Yeah.
And, that's too bad.
It's really good. Just the way that the whole kind of... It sort of has a fairy tale narration. Not in a cheesy, girly way at all. It's very sweet. And it's, centered around, like, very morbid subjects. So it's funny. Check it out. And then the movie I watched was City of Ember.
It's an animated one, right?
No, actually, that's a live action. I kind of equate it to... it's a very staged-looking movie. Like we are on a soundstage.
It reminded me of Sky Captain. Is that kind of... like not exactly that stylized, but...
No, it's steampunk. It's steampunk. Okay. It takes place in a city underground, and it's all about these... couple of kids who are trying to get everyone out of there because the power is failing and they're about to, die and starve to death. So only that's these two kids have the guts to it's more of a family film. It was a little too childish for me, I guess. The kid actors weren't very great.
So why'd you watch it?
I was interested in just watching some steampunk stuff, and someone recommended, hey, City of Ember is kind of a steampunky movie, so.
Apparently we talk about steampunk a lot on this podcast now.
Yeah, that's cool. I think it's fun. I'm always checking out sites like Etsy that sells steampunk jewelry and crap like that. And I'd love to see some more games like BioShock set in that period, or, well, theme, I guess.
Cool.
Justin?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
What have you been doing, ma'am?
Absolutely nothing besides video games. I wish that was the answer. Been playing too much Rock Band. But in between...
How is that? Do you like that, the keyboard? Because that did not come naturally to me at all. And I grew up playing piano.
I love it. The keyboard's a lot more fun than I expected, and it's also a lot harder than I expected on pro keys. Because yeah, I played piano till I was about 12, and it's not coming back to me yet. But I have high hopes for it. But I'll actually wrote up a little bit about it on the site, so you can check that out. Mm-hmm. As far as my threesomes go, I can't remember if I've talked about Community before, but it's evolving into my favorite Thursday night show out of the NBC block, and just because it started a little bit slow, but it's a show that is very character driven, and I love every character on the show at this point. And they had a really great episode at the end of the last season where they had this big paintball war on campus, and they hadn't really gone back to that type of formula until their Halloween episode this year was about a zombie outbreak on campus, and it was highly enjoyable and, you know, played to all the zombie cliches, and it's just a really entertaining show, and it just keeps getting better. So, and I had a little bit of a horror movie marathon over the weekend, and got to revisit my favorite new horror movie that was finally released on DVD and download last year after being in limbo for the longest time and not ever actually coming to theaters, and it's called Trick or Treat. Has anybody else seen that one?
I saw trailers for it. I thought it looked kind of creepy.
It looked kind of cheesy too, but it's actually executed really well, and it's one of those movies that it all takes place in the same town that takes Halloween really, really seriously and takes the rules of Halloween very seriously, and but there's four stories that are going on at the same time, and they all kind of overlap, but it's broken up into three or four pieces that way, and it's better than you think it would be, and one of the more enjoyable horror movies I've seen in a while. It's not like overly scary or overly creepy, but just pretty well done, especially for a movie that didn't make it to theaters. So I believe that's out on Netflix, and I know it's on the Zune store on Xbox because that's where I was watching it. So game-wise, been playing a lot of stuff, but wanted to kind of highlight the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit demo that came out last week. And I'm a huge fan of Criterion, who's the developer of the game. They make all the Burnout games, and never been a big fan of Need for Speed, but wanted to see them bring Burnout flavor to Need for Speed. And the demo itself is kind of short. It's pretty fun. It's got two racing modes, but the big feature in the game they've been touting is the auto log, which is basically a mini Facebook for just that game, where it connects all your friends and provides leaderboard updates and tries to encourage competition to the different races and keep you in tune with your friends that are actually playing the game. It's much more active than anything going on the 360 by itself, like any notifications that have been going on there, and kind of works like a pumped up version of, you know, the Geometry Wars leaderboards, and Blur had a little bit of this as well, just always feeding you information about any of your friends topping any of your scores. And I got into a little bit of a competition with apparently our new rival website, Steven over at theeasymode.com and their podcast, kind of called us out, or called me out for continuing to go back and forth on some of our top racing scores, and looking forward to having a little bit more competition on that game with the Easy Mode guys. They're a good crew. So recommend checking out the demo and their podcast as well if you get the chance.
Burn.
Out.
Yeah, I hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get them. Get
unnecessary em. Trash talk.
Rival.
We're serious. Anyway, let's get warmed up here with our on-the-spot question. Taking a look at horror movie franchises that haven't been converted to games, and which one actually should be converted to a game. Start with Ethan.
I'm going to go back in time to
back
the
in time.
Jada Pinkett Smith feature, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. For those of you that don't remember that, it's probably pretty realistic because I don't think many people saw that movie. But I did, and I thought it was cool, and involved demons and the guardian of this key that prevented, you know, bad things from happening, and you had to shoot the demons in the eyeballs. I just think that there were some cool components that could lend itself to a game, maybe in the vein of Eternal Darkness with multiple storylines and that sort of thing, dealing with this whole cosmic battle between good and evil and, you know, the kind of pseudo-star of Titanic.
That's what you relate Billy Zane to? That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So an eyeball shooter, is that what you're recommending?
Yeah, I think that's probably the genre it would create after that, eyeball shooter.
Cool. I'd play an eyeball shooter.
Only if the guy from Halo would do the voiceover, and, you know, anytime you did it, it would go, eyeball shot!
I prefer the Unreal announcers to the Halo announcers, just for the record.
I prefer Billy Zane. I mentioned Billy Zane. It's his property.
Say Billy Zane again.
Fair. Billy Zane. Man, I love that. He's so handsome. I mean, I'm just saying that. He really is.
Do you like him with bald or with hair?
You know what? I could go either way, to be quite honest with you.
An awkward way to ask that question.
Or as pretty gross. Wasn't he in The Phantom?
I believe he was.
You look good in that suit.
I need to calm down.
So if you were gay, you would hit that.
I don't think I'd have to be gay.
All right, you'd hit that. All right.
Just blanket statement. It's fine.
Damn.
Christina, what horror movie needs to be made into a game?
I don't watch too many horror movies, but I remembered Cube and kind of liking the concept of that. And I don't know how it would work, but I almost picture a sort of Left 4 Dead type scenario where maybe you need people of different skill sets to get through this cube and different areas of the cube. So they would probably have to be short because, you know, people would be dying off as you go through, I imagine. But yeah, I think something like that would be kind of cool because I dig the sci-fi horror. I'm not a fan of, like, just the slasher films. Like, oh my god, there's someone in the house. But, yeah, sci-fi horror, I'm game.
Can we have you reenact a horror movie scene with your scared girl voice and your little kid voice? I want the little kid to stalk the scared girl. We'll do that for an advertisement later on. Anyway, I like your voices.
I'm
That's
coming to get you.
Well done. About Cole, what do you think? Horror movie needs a game.
Nightmare on Elm Street, but with a twist as you play as Freddy in a randomly nightmare-generated scenarios.
A nightmare generation sim game.
Yes. Yeah. So no, you play as Freddy and kill all these evil kids.
I think that's the angle that no horror game has really taken that I want to see brought back and done well with, you know, new technology, because the Dungeon Master series is what I was talking about earlier, is, you know, where you set up dungeons and kill heroes that integrate that into horror and psychological stuff where you're setting up characters, and Freddy would be that'd be great a great character if it was executed well.
What about you, Justin?
Well, Coleman, since you asked, I have a fondness for the movie The Descent, not to be confused with the video game Descent. So we're not going to be using our spaceship to go through tunnels through the earth and shoot stuff. But this is the story about the group of girls that goes spelunking and gets trapped underneath some uncharted cave, and of course has creepy mutant creatures in it that are hunting them the entire time. But I just think it'd be nice to have like a survival horror take with some Prince of Persia type platforming, or like, you know, maybe Tomb Raider style would be a better example, but very much playing a lot with light and dark and how much sound you make as you're moving around and trying to survive. And I just think there's a lot of scary elements there that could be integrated into the climbing character action games that I seem to like so much lately. So. And I recommend the movie as well, just to throw that out there. All right, it's time for our horror discussion. We've broken this down into a couple different categories, and we're just going to see how many we get through in our time, our as our time goes on. And so we're going to start out talking about why we love horror games, and then dive into the best horror games we've played, talk about the difference between bloody games and psychological games, figure out what breaks a horror game, what non-horror game stands out to us the most as still being scary, and then wrap it all up with our definitive scary moment in video games. So, first thing I want to talk about is, you know, what do we like about horror games? It's kind of a general discussion here, and I actually wanted to start with Ethan on this and just see where we get. But what draws you to horror games, Ethan?
You know, I think that one element in the movie, in scary movies, is that you don't have much control. And I think, you know, it's kind of like a roller coaster. A roller coaster is pretty freaky, but again, you know what's going to happen for the most part. It's relatively predictable. In a video game, you're making more decisions and you have a lot more control over, you know, what direction you're going in. And so, you know, I liken it to the first time I played Resident Evil, and, you know, I didn't want to go through that door because it looked to me like there was something amiss. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I mean, it's cool to dive into it. And we don't deal with situations like that very often, you know, and there's very few times that we would see a haunted house and say, oh, hey, we should go in that. And the horror genre gives you that opportunity. And I just it's cool to kind of see the type of stories that come out of it, too, because, again, in most horror games, it's not all gameplay. There's a lot more built around the backdrop and, you know, the background story and all that kind of stuff. So I think there's just so much that can come out of it, you know. It's and a lot of those games, again, are different from most action-based games.
So it's the lack of control that drives you a little bit. What about Cole? What do you like about horror games?
They make me feel alive. You know, usually playing video games and stuff, you know, you're pressing buttons and doing what you got to do to continue in the game.
I hate video games.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I was going to say.
No, but
it's such a chore.
It is. Writing about them is so fun. But anyway,
I can go extra monotone still.
Okay.
Sorry.
Wow. Anyway, you know, like I'm not a huge fan actually of horror games because I don't like to be scared, but they do get my heart rate up and give me that sweaty palm feeling, and I know like that just my stress is just on the constant rise, and you know, you feel alive when that happens.
Fair enough. What about Christina?
Well, I'm not a big fan of horror games. I mean, you know, all the sleeping around and horror. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you made that joke first.
I was hoping we'd get through the podcast without that joke, but
I'm sorry. I waited this long, you know. Anyway, I like the suspense. I'm not big on the slashers and the blood and gore, but I do like, yeah, the fear, the unknown, and I guess kind of a combination of both Ethan and Cole's answers, you know.
Do you feel alive when you play them?
I do feel alive in the lack of control.
I feel like a tear came down your face when you said that, Cole.
Yes, because most of the time I just feel dead. In normal life, I'm dead.
He's just a shell of a man unless he's playing horror games.
Right.
What actually drives me, it's the same thing with horror movies, is that it's the psychological side that it's more of a, I'm daring this game or this movie to evoke a reaction from me. And that's always been my fascination with games and movies in general, is just the fact that something I'm watching or interacting with can make me feel something. And with horror games especially, I want to see if it can shock me or gross me out or give me a nightmare or just freak me out. And any game that kind of pushes that envelope in a creative way, I love trying them out. And that's what keeps me searching for that next big scare. So now let's get into actual games. And right now, what's your go-to horror title, Christina?
I guess right now it would be Alan Wake. I thought a lot of the gameplay was repetitive when you actually got to the zombie-like people. But, yeah, overall, I like the story and the atmosphere. And it's more of a thriller, I guess, kind of combining my thriller and horror games. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the creepiness, the town in the middle of nowhere.
Did you ever really feel scared in that game? Or
not really. I'm sure if I played it like late at night with the lights off.
It was a very
probably.
It was a very different kind of scary game. It was very like I was never worried I was gonna be, you know, scared shitless or anything, but it was just had an overall creepy nature to it, and it's one of the more calming scary games out there.
Yeah, but, it's kind of a subtle creepiness, yeah. I guess.
I can see why you like that then, since it's not your favorite genre. But,
yeah.
What about Coleman?
My go-to horror game is Resident Evil. I know, even though I've played it, you know, so many times, that I can still get that feeling of when I played it the first time, and it's like that first hit of the drug. You keep trying to get back to it, and that's Resident Evil for me.
Like, still even today, like. Did you ever play any of the remakes, or?
I don't think I played any of the remakes on the GameCube. I watched you play it, but I didn't really get into it. But I mean, I even liked the latest one, Resident Evil 5. Like, even though it was totally different from the first couple, I still got into it and liked it a lot.
So many discussions. Well, Ethan and I have had so many discussions about Resident Evil 4 and 5. I've decided that those aren't horror games. They're not. We know they're not survival horror games, but they're not horror games either, because they're not. At no point are you like scared. It's like they crossed a boundary in that game where they started throwing so many enemies at you that it was no longer. It's kind of like why Left 4 Dead to me isn't scary.
It's just like overwhelming more.
Yeah, it's you're taking on mobs, and they're not individual threats or scaring you in any way. But I would. Like, my go-to Resident Evil game would still be the remake of the first one, because that's phenomenal on the GameCube. Ethan?
I'm going to go with... Resident Evil is definitely up there, but I'm going to go with Call of Cthulhu. It was a Bethesda game. Came out for Xbox, actually. And it... I mean, it's H.P. Lovecraft, and kind of based on Shadow over Innsmouth. You know, talking about frog people and these greater gods. And I say frog people and everyone's probably like, wow, that seems really stupid. But they were actually pretty creepy. And, you know, it took you through all these different locales. And, you know, the other scary thing about it, though, is that, you know, you had weapons, but you didn't take many hits before you died. Oh. And you didn't have health packs. You know, you actually had to... you know, use stitches and bandages and painkillers. So, I mean, not only are you trying to survive, you're also having to, you know, quickly apply, you know, medical treatment to yourself. And you use stealth a lot more than you actually confronted people or creatures. So, again, it was really cool. And I suggest that game to anybody, because it's just a different experience than most games that I've ever played.
I'm incredibly intrigued, actually. As I was just going to ask, if the battle isn't the focus, and I mean, it sounds more survival horror than most survival horror games. Like, is it exploration based, or are you just trying to escape? What's the goal?
You know, usually in most of the, I mean, you've got your missions, and it just depends on what level. But you know, I in comparing it to like a Resident Evil, you know, in Resident Evil, even though it's you don't have to fight every single enemy, for the most part, you're killing every single enemy. In this game, you know, killing one enemy is going to bring on, you know, everybody. And you almost avoid, you know, battles more so than you actually, you know, fight. So that was a big element to it that just made it, I don't know, that much creepier of a game. Not to mention that H.P. Lovecraft will unsettle anybody. So
I just like that we pimp. We went from pimping wrestling and Demolition Man to pimping H.P. Lovecraft and steampunk.
it's a natural progression.
Absolutely. I see a lot of wrestling influence on steampunk.
Oh, man, there should be a steampunk character in
I was going to say, that's a whole new storyline for the WWE. Oh, we claim that one when that happens. anyway, my go-to horror game at the moment is... It's funny because I haven't played this game as much as I thought I would, but still, Dead Space was everything I hoped it would be and more with... It just kind of combined one of my favorite movies. It really felt like the Event Horizon of video games, which the movie surprisingly still holds up today. But Dead Space did what Resident Evil 4 was trying to do, but it fills that gap between the creepiness and the exploration and the survival side of the original Resident Evils, but with a little bit more action and gunplay. And the fact that they helped coin the term strategic dismemberment is one of my favorite things about that game. I have never had a game that I have been so tense for so long. Like, I was literally, you know, white knuckling the controller the entire time I was playing it. I also refused to play the game during the day and several times, you know, playing it at like 3 a.m. with, you know, surround sound up and everything, that I would have to stop playing for 10 or 15 minutes at a time to kind of just to regain my composure. And it's not that it pulls you in that much. I mean, I'm definitely susceptible to it because I love to get wrapped up in games like that. But that game hit all the notes with me and just sucked me in and scared the hell out of me. And that was no game has come close to touching that. Even some of my scarier moments, the rest of the games never hold up, and Dead Space is just tense throughout. So hopefully they don't screw up the sequel. That's the ultimate.
I played that game after surgery last year or 2 years ago, and I was on painkillers at the time, so I had some of the most fucked up dreams I've
awesome.
Ever had. I mean, it was not a good combination. So anybody listening out there, you know, hydrocodone and Dead Space is not a good combination.
Oh, I thought you were recommending that.
Well, or it depends on your lifestyle, I guess.
If you're into that kind of thing.
All right, let's move on to our next topic of the best horror game that you know about that you haven't played. And so you can mention it, and I'm sure someone else in our crew has played the game before. But let's start with Cole this time.
The best game I haven't played is Eternal Darkness for the GameCube. I watched Justin play it when it first came out and saw how crazy it was and how, like, just your perception of the game just shifts constantly, it seems. And it always seemed interesting to me, but I was never a GameCube owner, or I was for like a minute, but never got into that game and just have always been interested in it.
So your limitation was that you didn't own the console?
Yeah.
That's too bad. Ethan, I know you've played quite a bit of Eternal Darkness. I'll let you go first.
I think the coolest thing about that game is it was a relatively long game, but it was it had episodes, which it was cool pacing, you know, and it didn't make you feel like you had to sit and play the game too long. Even though I did play it, you know, all through one night. I think the best thing about that is the concept of the a psychological what am I thinking of?
The psychological effects?
Thriller?
Oh, yeah. The psychological effects and, you know, how that really impacted gameplay and how, you know, kind of like I remember Metal Gear Solid did it with when you fought Psycho Mantis, but this game took it to the next level.
I forgot about Psycho Mantis.
Yeah, I mean, but I remember that, and I remember playing this game and it saying, your save file has been corrupted. And I was
God.
Fuck! Yeah. You fucking game?
I think they were, what were they called? Sanity?
Sanity, yeah, there we
sanity
go.
Sanity effects or sanity... I'm going to get this damn term correctly. Sanity. Oh, they're just sanity effects. Anyway, let's say sanity effects one more time. No, but the loss of the game save was like the loss of the game save. And then later in the game, I also had the effect where it says the game is to be continued. And it was like, I think that was maybe 2 hours into the game where it gave me the, you've finished Eternal Darkness and check out the sequel coming soon. And I'm like, what the hell? And then it cuts back. And just that the game was playing with, trying to play with your head in game and out of game was fantastic. And, but But yeah, the other aspect of that, the fact that you play as so many different characters and the stories are all interwoven and tied together, and how it's fantastic. It was one of those games that it has multiple endings, and to get all of them, you have to beat it three different times. And actually, one of the few games that I saw through to the completion like that. And
who developed that game? Was it Silicon Knights?
Yeah, that was their last great game for sure. I
wonder why they haven't gone back to the well for that with that one.
I think Nintendo, since it was published for Nintendo, I wonder if Nintendo has the rights to it.
Okay.
That wouldn't surprise me, but I also given Silicon Knights' recent track record, I wouldn't even trust them with it now. Like that's somebody true. Else should take that mantle. Let's go to Christina. Best horror game you haven't played.
I'd go with American McGee's Alice. I hear a lot of people talk about it, and I just haven't gotten around to finding it. I mean, it's PC, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not politically correct, but it's on the PC.
Okay, all right.
And especially with the sequel coming out pretty soon, you need to get that.
Oh,
get that
really?
Yeah.
I think it's Alice the... I think the Madness Returns.
Yeah, how
I
far think that's apart right. are they?
It's... I mean, it's a... I'll
because I thought that came out back in the day.
It did.
I mean, yeah, well, I was
late 90s, probably.
Yeah, it was right before. It was before I went to college, and I remember playing a lot freshman year. But yeah, it's the new game comes out. Actually, I don't have a release date for it, but they've been starting to do trailers for it, and it's kind of interesting. They took American McGee's name off of it finally, because he really that's the best game he's done, and the only game he's really done well. But yeah, it takes place a significant amount of time after the first Alice game, but you know, I kind of hoped that the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland movie was going to be more inspired by the game, honestly, because it has that dark, twisted, gothic take on Wonderland. And if you thought Tim Burton's vision was dark, this doesn't even hold a candle to the original Alice. And the game itself, it wasn't the best action platforming game by any means. I remember the controls actually kind of sucked, but it was just all about the environments and just the twisted nature of everything in Wonderland that kept bringing me back. And I love that story, and you know, make it more gothic and more horror, and it ties me in even more. And plus, Alice is fucking nuts, and I love crazy women, so. What about Ethan?
Alan Wake was one that I think slipped past me kind of in a similar way to Cole with Eternal Darkness, in that, you know, Xbox 360 is probably the last system I really focus on too much. I mean, I'm thinking that might change here soon. And it looked really cool, but I never picked it up. But I like the idea of, you know, an author kind of walking through a creepy old town, and his work actually coming to life. Because I like to think of myself as an amateur author, and I think that if any of my stuff came to life, I it would suck.
I would play that game where Ethan's writings come to life.
I'd have nightmares from that game.
Based on your recent article, Ethan, I think Michael Jackson would be your buddy in that game.
I think he would.
Dude, that'd be a great game.
The story in Alan Wake is told really well, and the main force to actually see through the game. And I haven't played the DLC yet, but I have a feeling that it ties it together even better. But it's an underrated game. Like, it won't go down in history as a great game by any means, but it has a lot of great moments in it, and it's definitely worth a look when the price comes down, for sure.
Yeah. Now, is it? I guess I saw it, and I mean, the gameplay to me, it looked like there was some action to it, but I mean, you wouldn't describe it as an action
game. No.
Not at all.
There's like one. There are like maybe two big kind of action scenes to it, but it's the combat's the weakest part of the game. So okay.
It's, and that's not it's always a bad thing.
The majority
thing.
Of the game, I think.
Yeah, it's too much of the game, and it's the weakest part.
And it's weak. Yeah, it's very repetitive. It's just, you know,
it kind of has
shoot,
like
shoot.
The first three or four battles seem kind of cool because the effects are really like the lighting effects in that game are really well done, and some of the shadow effects on the creatures are it's pretty cool. But it gets really repetitive really quick, and
that's too bad.
Yeah, they just needed to mix up the enemies and the combat style quite a bit more and to really get it to that next level.
It's like Stephen King, the video game.
Sounds good to me.
It's yeah, got a little hint of yeah. Maximum yeah. Overdrive. Did you ever see that?
Oh, months? Hell yeah. Yeah. It's a great movie.
Pew, pew, pew.
Surprisingly, and I blame this on my lack of owning a PlayStation, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit, I've yet to play any of the Silent Hill series. And I've been told that Silent Hill 2 is the definitive game in the series. Did anybody have experience to argue that either way?
Yeah, I was going to say Silent Hill 1, I don't know. I didn't see too much difference between... I mean, obviously there was differences, but Silent Hill 1, that started it all. I just thought that every other Silent Hill after that kind of just did its best to, you know... It took the same basic idea. I mean, the graphics on Silent Hill 2 made it creepier, but there was just something about Silent Hill 1. I don't know. It was tough for me to play too many sequels after that.
It was the unknown factor of the Silent Hill 1. Like, you're just surrounded by fog, and you don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah, and the background to it. Because then once you play them after that, you know, oh, there's some creepy flesh-looking things popping around and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point, Cole. It's just, I don't know. After that, Silent Hill was just revealed. And like in any horror movie, you know, once you see the villain or the monster or whatever it is, it's not quite as scary. And sometimes it can be kind of goofy. So.
But would you going it? I think, I guess the opinions I was kind of going off of is if you had to start with one of them, it would be Silent Hill 2 because Silent Hill 1 probably has, you know, a couple of the issues that the first games in the series do, and maybe they made a little bit more playable or something in Silent Hill 2, or it just overwhelmingly seems to be the recommendation to start with Silent Hill 2, so I was just curious as to why that opinion is, but I still need to rectify that, and but I'm afraid too much time's gone by that it wouldn't hold up, so if anybody else has any more recent Silent Hill recommendations.
Oh, that Wii Silent Hill seemed to be good. A lot of people seem to like that one.
Yeah, I'll check that out. That
it looked be. Cool, too, yeah. And they took a lot of the combat out of that, too, which I thought was a good move. It makes it that much creepier.
Huh. Yeah. It's more like investigation style.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool. All right.
Going back to that real quick, and it gives you more, you know, of that stress because you can't fight, you know, like that. Yeah. That's makes it a lot scarier because you show that vulnerability that Ethan will be talking about later.
Yeah, let's dive into our favorite types of scares and horror. Do you prefer bloody scares, bloody horror, or psychological horror? And I'm going to go ahead and start this off and cheat. So, because I prefer psychological gore, kind of as I mentioned recently in Dead Space, just the whole strategic dismemberment aspect just combined perfectly with, you know, skill and gore and also a little bit of fear because when you first run into the necromorphs, the enemies in the game, you don't take them down like regular zombies or any other enemies of shoot them in the head and taking body shots. You've got to chop off their limbs so they can't get to you because they're moving really quickly and they have really, you know, deadly sharp limbs and just that combination of strategy while everything is so tense is what made that game stand out to me. But also, when you do die in that game, you die in the most beautifully gruesome fashion. And, I mean, there are times I would just stop playing to see how my character would get obliterated and eviscerated in this scene. And, you know, there's one portion where one of the creatures that's in the larger creatures that are in the ship grabs a hold of you and basically, he's like in the ventilation shafts and he grabs a hold of you and you can't get away and he will take you through a vent and just completely disintegrate you. I love that stuff. And, it's the closest I've come to being grossed out a few times. So, major props to, psychological gore. Christina, kind of
disturbed.
I am. What kind of gore do you prefer?
I prefer no gore. I like or Gears scares, of War is sorry. Really my gore exception. I think that was because the chainsaw was in my hands for once. But I would go with psychological. And again, games like Alan Wake, and even going back to Heavy Rain, like, I think I was on the edge of my seat in that more than Alan Wake, just because I was so immersed in the story, and moments where you're having to walk really slowly down aisles so that people won't see you, and other such scenes. I love that kind of stuff. Cool. Yeah.
Cool. What about you, Ethan?
You know, I think if we're talking about people with sick minds here, you know, blood really doesn't affect me anymore, which isn't good. Now, real life blood may, more than likely will, but I'm kind of desensitized to it, and so it just doesn't freak me out anymore.
Because of all those violent video games.
Violent video games and Dead Alive. I think.
Don't
Dead
tell
Alive
the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah, no, I should be a star witness. Yeah, I am screwed up. There, here we go. That's why I don't have many friends because of this kind of shit. So I had to go with psychological because I just, you know, I have a very vivid imagination, and it doesn't take much for me to start thinking about something and adding components to it that may or may not be there. And I just think that, you know, a good example of that was Eternal Darkness, going back to that, is just because, you know, it got inside your head, and it played to those fears of the unknown and, you know, lack of control over your own mind, and just, you know, all the potential for what could happen, you know, how a situation can get that much worse when, again, you don't have that control, or you're seeing things that aren't really there. So, again, psychological always does it for me.
But Cole?
I'd have to agree with Ethan about the whole blood and gore stuff. It's sometimes it's cool to look at, but it's not very scary. But I like the psychological aspect of games when it's not overdone, like for jump scares anyway. Like, I think that if they're well spaced apart and they're used to build stress, even if like only one happens in the beginning of the game and there's none for the rest of the game, you're always anticipating that, and that's what I really like about it. Even though it might not pay off in the end, you're still heart's racing, palms are sweaty again.
I think that's what held Doom 3 down on my overall list, is because they jump scared the hell out of you all the time. Like, had they spaced it out more, I think it would have resonated more. But yeah, I think it all comes back to the fact that we like to be in control, and that's why we play these games, because you aren't quite in control. And I was just surprised, like, and that there really hasn't been a great bloody game recently that evokes any type of horror. And that's just, maybe that's just the nature of video games, though, and that their interactivity, and maybe blood's better suited for movies. So now let's talk about the bad horror games and what we don't like in horror games by discussing what feature makes or breaks a horror game for you. And we'll start with Christina.
I'd say just the overuse of graphic, gory scenes and tons of blood. Like, that kind of shock. I don't know. When I was little, that stuff really used to get to me, and it would give me nightmares. Now, not so much. It just kind of irritates me. I don't get any... enjoyment out of it, or any kind of psychological thrill from it. So
remember the last game that annoyed you?
The last bloody game that annoyed me?
Yeah, for that reason, I mean.
Anything that I don't know, because I don't really play them that much. I remember like the games that are unnecessarily violent and bloody always kind of bugged me. I played a little bit of, oh god, what's that Vin Diesel?
Butcher Bay.
No.
Riddick?
Sorry. Riddick, yes, Chronicles of Riddick, and you're starting out in the prison, and you're forced, you don't have a choice, you have to find a shiv and stab, like, people and break out of prison, and, like, being forced to, like, cut people's heads off and things like that. I don't like that. I don't get any thrill out of that.
I'm borderline because I wouldn't call that a horror game, but it does have some scary moments actually in it. So
yeah, it's just I can't.
But I get what you're saying.
Again, I don't play the horror games, but that overuse of graphic goriness.
Gotcha. Jump to Cole here.
For me, it's any humor moments. Like, I don't want a horror game to have like constant scares the whole time, but I don't want it to be like totally taken out of that context either. And sometimes they have some chuckles and it just doesn't fit in
like
the game.
Cheese or actual humor. Like I guess you look like the old cheese or actual cheese.
Cheese is pretty bad.
Like the dialogue in the original Resident Evil is kind of famous for being awful.
But you still especially that video at the beginning. But it sets the scene, I guess, and once you get into the house, you're in the atmosphere and stuff, and you can kind of look past, or I could kind of look past the dialogue.
Like comedy relief?
Yeah.
Does any game stand out in your head?
No, I really can't think of anything.
Oh, that derailed him? Fair enough.
Yeah, nothing that derailed it.
Well, that's the funny thing, is like some of these games we put down for a reason and forgot them for a reason, so.
Yeah.
What about Ethan?
I'm going to go back to Resident Evil 5 on this. I'm just going to talk, lack of vulnerability is a big thing. Is the more guns you have, the less frightening a situation is, I mean, a zombie is only creepy, or a mutated human's only creepy if you only have your hands to fight it off with. And I think that where some games kind of lose that, whereas it may have elements that are frightening, they lose that element of tension when you can just pull your shotgun out and take out whatever the threat is, And I like the games that take that kind of control out of your hands, and say, hey, you can't fight this creature. You need to hide. You need to run, or you need to avoid it altogether. So again, it's lack of vulnerability. You can be too overpowered in a game.
I mean, hell, half the Resident Evil 5 was built so you'd replay it multiple times with more ridiculous weapons and
exactly.
To be invulnerable.
Ammo.
It's so weird to see why we all fell in love with that series and what it evolved into. And I mean, like I said, it's an action game at this point. It's a good action game, but it's not a horror game.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what broke it. For me, it's clunky gameplay, which is actually kind of funny, because Resident Evil is the first ones are incredibly clunky with their tank movement of characters, but for whatever reason, that fit the survival horror nature of that game. But the game that kind of stands out to me with clunky gameplay was Jericho, Clive Barker's Jericho, which I had a lot of hopes for just because graphically, all the videos and all the previews of that game looked pretty impressive with a lot of just disgustingly hellish creatures from the mind of Clive Barker. And the story seemed kind of interesting, just, anything with opening gateways to hell or crossing over into that dimension seems like it would play well in a game, but the game was basically unplayable. I mean, it was a shooter, like a squad-based shooter where different team members had different abilities, and none of them really all worked that well. They overused quick time events that were way too hard and made you have to replay them way too many times, and I never got through the first third of the game because it was unplayable. And because of that, it never immersed you in the world. And that's what I need out of horror games, is I need to, I want to play it in the dark with, where when my roommate walks in, they could scare the hell out of me because I'm so engrossed in the game. And because it didn't play well, I couldn't get into it. And it's just really unfortunate because the scary content was definitely there. They just couldn't execute on it. So, all right, next to last topic is the scariest moment or the scariest non-horror game where you picked it up to play it for other reasons and then kind of realized you're a little bit creeped out by this game. And we'll start with Ethan.
I'm going to have to go with Metal Gear Solid Sons of the Patriots with the bipedal robots, the geckos that actually are featured in the very beginning of the game. you know, the scene was built up really well, and you know, you're kind of sneaking through, and then suddenly these huge things just come storming out from out of nowhere, and they made these weird sounds, and they were tough to kill, and you really couldn't kill them in the beginning. So again, it brought back that vulnerability, and you had to avoid them. And you know, they were featured, you know, multiple times throughout the story, and you know, Metal Gear Solid. It also, I mean, a lot of the background to it was pretty creepy as well, especially when they introduced the four female characters that were, you know, victims of war crimes and that sort of thing, and just there was a lot of psychological background type horror, I guess, would be more so than actual, you know, direct examples of it. But I just remember there's a few moments in that game that I was kind of taken aback and a little bit frightened.
Did you like? Doesn't that always catch you off guard when you realize, oh, I'm actually a little bit scared in Metal Gear Solid, or like in this game?
I think it multiplies kind of that feeling a little bit because you're not expecting it, you know. I remember just that moment of holy shit, you know. And yeah, it's a robot and it's not some bloody blob, you know, guy.
Bloody blob.
Yeah, but you know, still, there was something about it that was just pretty creepy, and the way they moved, and I don't know, it was just unsettling.
Huh. Good.
I say that a lot.
Oh, I think we should. Use unsettling a little bit more, because that's really the emotion I think we're all going after. Yeah. Christina.
Yeah.
Your scariest non-horror game.
Scariest non-horror game. I remember being pretty scared of Dark Forces on... I was playing it on the Mac.
Scared every time I play a game on the Mac.
I just remember, like, the creatures that were in the water would jump up and scare the snot out of me, and specifically on the level with, I think it was Jabba's ship, like a spaceship, and there are these giant Kel dragons that come after you, and I remember those just terrifying me. I hated playing that level. So, yeah.
Did you get through it?
I did. I got through
good
it
for you.
Several times, but man, I hated that level.
Nothing like a scary Star Wars moment. Coleman.
I don't want to talk about it too much because Ethan hasn't gotten through it, but my scariest non-horror game is Batman Arkham Asylum, especially with the scarecrow parts. A little creepy and, to use Ethan's word, unsettling.
Yeah. I would back that up. Just from the fact that scene caught me totally off guard. And
yeah, like when you walk into the morgue, holy shit!
I had one of the. It was one of those moments. I was like, I kind of want to turn the lights on just for this little part. I know it'll be over soon, but this is weird. They should have used Cillian Murphy though somehow, because he's even creepier as Scarecrow. And go see 28 Days Later, because that's the tie-in to Cillian Murphy.
And not Red Eye.
I like Red Eye. That's the whole nother conversation.
Rachel McAdams.
My non-horror game. We kept earlier trying to find examples of like 16-bit games that first became scary, but really settled on Resident Evil. Kind of kicked it off in the PlayStation era of realistic scary games, but so I was trying to find a more retro game than this, but what kept popping up in my head was Fallout 3, and my first playthrough of that game, just some of the, like, I didn't know if I was going to get through the game, because you're having to travel through the subway tunnels so much, and when I knew nothing of what to expect from a Fallout game, it being my first one, that I didn't know what was going to be in these tunnels at any given point, and you know, later in the game, it's not so scary, but those first few journeys through the tunnels where those crab people would pop up and make kind of echoey noises, and I wasn't sure what they were and if I had the right weapon to kill them, I got pretty nervous and kind of, you know, a little bit freaked out by some of the zombie stuff of that, too, for a little bit, and it really caught me off guard. but subways are creepy, so.
Would you say you were unsettled?
I would go that far. Yes, I was unsettled playing Fallout 3. All right, let us wrap this up with our standout scariest moment in video game, our video game history. Not to put any pressure on your answer. And, you know, I'll go ahead and kick this one off. From the creators of BioShock, before that, they had a very successful PC franchise of the System Shock games. And System Shock 2 was actually a game that I had to stop playing for a while because it was just too unsettling for me. but they had these kind of like, you know, deformed zombie like characters that that you could always kind of hear coming at you, but never really knew where they were at first, especially your first few encounters with them. And again, I didn't understand the combat enough in that game where I felt completely helpless anytime they would attack me. And I think that's what made me in the end put it down. But there's also just a lot of, like, you know, voices in your head and voices throughout the ship and strange noises in the ship. The game was all about scaring you with sound of things you couldn't hear. And I remember getting that game for Christmas thinking I was just going to jump into some, you know, some sci-fi adventure. And I just was not prepared for the game actually creeping me out. And that's just one of those, the first kind of standout moment for me where I remember having to put a game down for a while. And I came back to it a couple years later when, you know, I prepared myself a little bit more. But that a game will always resonate with me.
There's a lot of System Shock 2, I think, in Dead Rising that I've noticed, even with the voices and that kind of thing. There are just some elements that I remember
in Dead Rising? Those
games. Or not Dead Rising, excuse
Dead
me.
Space. Dead Space.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I really feel like, you know, they not obviously they didn't copy it, but they took some elements from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, for sure.
They did well with it, too. I mean, they just added to it. But yeah, I agree with you on that one. That was a fucked up game.
And that, yeah, it's both those games, but it's probably why I like both of them. It's all in the sound design. It just takes the atmosphere to another level and fucks with your head, man. Christina.
Fuck yeah. Fable 2. There was a moment. It's not even a horror game, but there was, I don't think anything scared me more than this, and it was so stupid. There's a house. Eventually you find a house and you're walking toward it, and it's like a happy looking little cottage, you know, the fire inside, doors open, and the second you walk through the door, there's like a loud noise, bam, and suddenly everything is like decayed, and it's a very depressing looking house. But that moment, like, it there was
no warning,
no anticipation, no warning, nothing. Like, it just scared the snot out of me. So, yeah, I'd go with that.
That's funny. I don't remember that moment, actually.
It's either Fable 1 or Fable 2. I found a video of it on YouTube, but for some reason the house isn't there. The guy's just walking down a path, and all of a sudden, bam, he's in the house. So.
Well, we do know you hate feeling you know, uncomfortable and in decayed, hopeless situations. So
I don't like my decayed.
Sorry. I'm sorry that game took you to your bad place.
I don't
want to
talk about this anymore.
Okay, we'll move on to Ethan.
I'm going to have to go with Stalker, Shadows of Chernobyl. You know, the game overall was just really creepy, and it was very atmospheric, and you could hear mutants in the background and all this kind of stuff, and the wind blowing. I mean, they did a really good job with that game, minus the buggy-ass, you know, feature of it. But I was able to overlook that, but the scariest part of it was when you need to go into these underground labs to find files and that sort of thing. And, I mean, it's creepy up until that point. But, you know, the lab door closes behind you, and it's just darkness. And there's stuff floating around, and you can't see the mutants that are down there for the most part. There's a couple of them that are actually invisible and have telekinesis. And so you're walking down a hall, and suddenly a box comes flying and hits you. And, you know, mix that up with some of the other creepier creatures that you meet up with. And it was tough to finish that. That was one of the last games I've played that I really struggled to get through certain sections. I remember when I was little, I would run upstairs when the lights were off. And I did the same thing in this game. I like rushed to the very end of it and tried to get through it as quickly as possible. So
that's another game that after I when I first put it in, didn't anticipate, and that's not even a more recent game, the System Shock, but I didn't anticipate it being creepy. And, like, I put it down and had to, like, you know, get the right mindset to go in and play, because, you know, I just get really tense during those situations, and if I'm not prepared, then it can get a little bit overwhelming, and that's the mark of a great horror experience, when it catches you off guard like that.
Yep.
Cole, take us home.
Going back to Resident Evil, if you've played this game, you know the moment I'm going to be talking about. It's when those fucking dogs jump through the window when you're walking through that calm, nice little hallway. Like, that was the last thing I expected when I first put that game in.
I'm so glad I didn't have that spoiled for me at some point, because, I mean, that moment is why I continue to play Resident Evil games, in hopes that I will discover another moment equal to or better than that, because, wow, yeah,
They even set it up in the beginning of the game with that shitty full motion video that the dogs are out there chasing you, but then you totally forget about it because you're just like, oh, I'm in this house, I need to, you know, get a key for this and do all this stuff and kill zombies, and then boom, broken glass everywhere.
The other subtly great moment in the remake of the first game is when you come up to that scene and go down that hallway for the first time. Something hits the glass, but it doesn't break all the way through. Oh, that's
genius.
And then you go about your business, and you have to come back through the hallway, and that's when the dogs jump through.
Genius.
I replayed that scene so many goddamn times. I rented a PlayStation for a weekend just to do that. Like, yes. Great, great conclusion there, Cole. Nicely done. Ethan, I can't move on without, I mean, it's Resident Evil, it's you. What do you got to say about the fucking dogs?
I remember sitting there, and just to add to the Resident Evil, when my brothers and I first played it, we didn't have a save file, or we didn't have a memory card. And so not only did you have the already creepy aspect of it, but we could die, and we'd have to start the whole game over again. So we played that game even more cautiously, and I tell you what, I didn't have much ammo at the time. You know, before that, you usually had unlimited ammo in those games, and I think I peed a little tiny bit. that scared the shit out of me. I never expected that, ever in a million years. Never had a game done that, and holy shit.
Yeah,
I mean, I was pissed too. I was like, "How am I so scared about this right now?"
They're just little doggies.
Oh, and you couldn't turn around quick enough to shoot at him. That was the other thing, is you ran down the hall and thought, "I'll just get a bead on him, take him out." But no, you turned so slowly, and you're like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna go in the door and move on."
Oh man, fantastic. And on that note, that wraps up our horror discussion. So we're gonna make our way out of here with some HorribleNight.com updates and then get to our industry shout-outs. Ethan came up with yet another ongoing editorial series for us this week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about counter gaming and where you came up with it and where it's going?
You know, counter gaming, we really, really love video games as a hobby. And again, I say hobby, but there's some elements of our community and people associated with our community that really spoil it and are really quite annoying and don't really, shine a very positive light on people that would consider themselves gamers. And, you know, I started out with piracy, and there's a whole ton more content that's going to come at that. But it's kind of us saying, look, you know, these are stereotypes that aren't necessarily true, and these are people that are going to bring down gaming for everybody. And I just thought it's a great place for people that don't buy into all that crap to see that, you know, people that have websites and are really into games don't think it's cool to pirate games and to use cheat codes and et cetera. So we're kind of using that as a way to say, hey, you guys, get your shit in check.
I mean, one of the other big features on the site are our culture articles, where we kind of celebrate the things we love about the gaming industry. And these will be the items that are seeking to destroy that or, you know, ruin our experience and hopefully call attention to hopefully call enough attention to it to help end it would be the goal. I also just real quick wanted to – it's been a while. I got out of the habit of letting people know how to contact us. But we're always looking for interaction on the site and especially on the Horrible Show. And so if you ever want to reach out to us, ask us questions, we definitely want to hear from you. And, you know, hit us up on Twitter, at The Horrible Show or at Horrible Night, or hit us up individually. We've got our profiles up on the site, and you can find all of our contact information and find us elsewhere. And, but also we've got our Facebook page, facebook.com/horriblenight, and or just shoot us an email on our contact form, or email simon@horriblenight.com, and we'd love to hear from you and get a little bit more interaction on the show, have, you know, on the spot questions coming from our listeners, and, you know, have an email segment coming up where we're answering your questions, because we're very opinionated people, and we never have the right opinions, but we will sure as hell try to convince you of it, and happy to talk about what you want to hear about. So feel free to reach out to us, and, you know, hope to hear from you soon. And so let's get out of here with industry shout-outs, and start with Christina. Just anything you've noticed recently that you wanted to point out in the gaming industry?
I finally went back and played that Crackdown 2 Toy Box expansion. It was like 560 gamer or whatever points, Microsoft points, this weekend.
It's like $7.
Yeah, I guess about $7. It sucks. You know, I mean, the game.
Have tried to like that game. I gotta
hand
it to you.
I really have, man. I think setting was their biggest downfall. You know, I just felt so ripped off that I paid $60 for a game set in the exact same place with just slightly different details.
So what did they try to add with the expansion?
Well, they did add the thrusters, but like the wingsuit, it removed a lot of the challenge. So yeah, you've got these little thrusters, and you can actually do a combination where you use the wingsuit and glide, and then you can use the thrusters and get back up, and then you could basically stay in the air infinitely if you wanted. But that the problem is it takes out all of the challenge of, like, scaling up the side of buildings, which was your biggest challenge in the first one. So I don't know. They better not bother with a third, and if they do, they need to set it somewhere else.
Yeah, check your news, because another one's coming. So.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. Anyway.
Idiots coming threes.
I pre-ordered Black Ops, Call of Duty Black Ops, the other day, and was looking up some information for in reference to it, and some douchebag, and I'm not going to name the website, nor am I going to name the douchebag, spoiled it and revealed a pretty surprising thing that happens within it. And are you kidding? You know, talking about counter gaming, yeah, there was no spoiler alert, and I hate people that do that kind of shit.
Especially the game's not even out yet.
Exactly. There was gameplay footage leaked, I think maybe earlier in the week or last week, and I avoided watching any of that footage at all, and this was on a completely unrelated topic and an unrelated article, and some dickhead just popped in a short little sentence that kind of ruined a surprise part of that game. So I'm pretty pissed, and douchebags. There's so many douchebags that play video games. It's unbelievable.
Was that the alternate title for counter gaming? Was those douchebags?
I was going to say it was those fucking douchebags, but I figured you'd want to keep that content to a PG level.
Yeah, at least out of the titles, anyway. But Cole?
The Kinect is this week, so if you're interested in playing video games without controllers, there you go.
You are the controller, Coleman.
I will be the controller later this week.
What will your body be controlling?
I'll be dancing.
All night long?
Yes.
On the ceiling?
Although, you know, I ordered it from Amazon last week, and it's supposed to be at my house on November 4th, and it has not shipped yet, so I don't think it's going to get here.
Amazon can surprise you every now and then.
We'll see.
Actually, my shout-out's a little bit related, because this has enabled me to possibly get the Kinect, and I'm looking at Dance Central as well, and probably Kinectimals, because I've got to see my girlfriend's little girl play with the tigers. I'm a sucker for that stuff. And I mean, Christina can come over and play, too.
Is a tiger? I want to play with the tiger!
But what has kind of freed up my bank account a little bit is, finally, Fender announced the pricing info and release date for the Pro Guitar for Rock Band 3, the actual stringed guitar that works as a real guitar and works in the game, and The weirdest thing is they didn't announce any information about it before the game was released, and all along, up until about a month ago, I was assuming it would be available when the game came out, but that didn't happen. It's actually going to be pre-orders start in January, and it'll be available in March of next year, and it's going to be $279, which is actually lower than I thought it would be. We started doing some math a while back, and I thought they were going to be at $350, so I was actually kind of happy with the price, and can't wait to get my hands on it, but it's also not till March, and now I've got Kinect money, so we'll also be dancing in the Midwest as well as in California, apparently, and dancing very, very badly. So that's that'll about do it tonight. Good to be back on the horrible show, and it was nice to take a week off and actually play some games, because we realized we've been working so hard on the site that sometimes we forget what's motivating us to actually write are the games themselves. So much needed week off, and but we'll be here for the rest of the year, and be back next Wednesday. Thanks everybody for joining me. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Bye-bye.